Well, I know all the kids are so excited about tomorrow, and I wish we had a longer, you had a long break, guys. You had a long break. That was the longest spring break I've ever seen, so, but I know getting back in the swing of things, it's not always, always easy. But as I thought back, when I was in high school, we actually got two long extensions because in my high school career, the teachers actually went on strike twice. And so we got almost an entire semester off. And that was before online, so we didn't have to do anything. And so it was enjoyable. But anyway, so back to the grind. You know, one of the challenges of having a child with autism is routine. And it's not just that autistic children like routine, they desperately need it. And Maverick has certainly had many off days over the last several months. And just to show you how much of a routine he enjoys, this was before we started meeting back here as a group. He was asking to go to church, pointing to the door. You know, he wanted to, that's part of the routine. But I suppose we've all been off, haven't we, in these last several months? I think that's what has contributed perhaps the most to our anxiety and our emotions. We get irritable a little quicker. Anyone else just kind of on edge? And we get out of sorts. We might lose our temper. We might get frustrated. We might even get offended a little easier than normal. We're all out of routine. And it's because we are creatures of habit. And during this time, we have had to make changes. And for many people, this is the most change they've ever had to make in such a short span of time. But as a Christian, we are not rooted in a changing world. We are rooted in an unchanging God. And so a simple message this morning, something to direct our minds back to the true and living God, to get our minds off of disease and off of politics and the news and social media, and get our minds back to the God that we serve. And a simple way to do that is to go to a very simple passage, one that we are all familiar with. In fact, probably most of us can quote it from memory. If you would turn with me, please, to the 23rd Psalm. Psalms chapter 23. Psalms 23. Translations differ a little bit, but Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou dost prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou hast anointed my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Well, initially, when I was studying this, I thought, well, what point can I bring out of the 23rd Psalm that really hasn't been looked at before? And the answer? Absolutely no point. As one commentator stated, Psalm 23 is so simple that it does not need a deep explanation. There is no encoded message behind this psalm. It's very simple to understand. And it is interesting to note the placement of Psalm 23 in this collection of books called the Psalms. "The Lord is my shepherd." Was this psalm intentionally placed here right after Psalm 22, which begins, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Other people wonder, well, when exactly in David's life did he write the 23rd Psalm? Maybe it was when he was a shepherd boy. where he displays his faith in God at a very young age. Or maybe he wrote this psalm when he was on the run from King Saul, that the only comfort he could truly find was in the Lord. Or maybe he wrote this during the height of his reign. And as he looked back to his days as a young shepherd boy, where that was just the training and preparing him to rule God's people as the king of Israel. Or perhaps, maybe he wrote this psalm after his affair with Bathsheba. Maybe as a broken man and a failed father, perhaps the only solace he could find was in his God. Maybe that's when he wrote the 23rd Psalm. Regardless of when this psalm was written in David's life, it beautifully describes our God. He is our shepherd. And the very idea of sheep denotes property. We are his. We belong to him. And this is known as the funeral passage. Half the funerals I've performed have requested that Psalm 23 be read. And I'll tell you where it's read the most. At the funerals of non-Christians, ironically. Why is that? Because it's a comforting passage. And the words are very simple, and it's such a comfort. However, this psalm cannot be said by anybody unless you can confidently say the first line, "The Lord is my shepherd." In that first verse, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." That is all about trust. Do you trust God? And obviously we're all going to say, "Oh, of course I trust him." Well, what does your life show? What's your anxiety level these days? How worried do you get? How stressed out do you become? Do you trust your shepherd? When it says, "I shall not want," that's not talking about the kid at Christmas who has the list to Santa a mile long. "I want this, I want that, I want that." The use of "want" is not saying that we shouldn't want things. That's not how "want" is used here. But rather, it's used in the sense of, "I shall not be in want. I shall not be in need. I shall not go without because of who my shepherd is." That was the shepherd's job, to tend to his flock, to make sure that his flock got all that they needed. A shepherd's focus was always on the flock, just as our Father is always focused on us, his sheep. And the sheep had to have complete trust that the shepherd was leading them the right way, that the path they were being led down would benefit them. You ever been in the passenger seat and you're going through some places that look a little sketchy, and you ask, "Are you sure this is the right way?" We were coming home one year from Canada, and we were going down I-75, and everybody knows the worst place is Atlanta. And there was a traffic jam, as there always is, and the GPS rerouted us a much quicker route. Naturally, we took the much quicker route. We regret taking the much quicker route. If there was a sketchy part of Atlanta, we drove through it. And you ask, "Are you sure this is the right way?" But for the Christian, we don't question our shepherd, because he is taking us the way we need to go. And we just got to trust him on that. Sometimes the narrow road that Jesus spoke of, sometimes it looks a little sketchy. Sometimes it looks rough. Sometimes we want to say, "Lord, are you sure this is the right way?" It's about trust. The Lord is my shepherd. He's the one leading me, and I trust him. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. My shepherd provides for me water and pasture. And I think it really is an unfortunate verse break. He restores my soul. That should be in verse 2. Not soul as in our eternal soul, but rather our well-being is restored because he feeds us and waters us. We are refreshed because of his provision. In Matthew chapter 6, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus tells his disciples, his sheep, "For this reason, I say to you, do not be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat and what you shall drink." in a lot of ways, that passage reflects maybe a broadening of Psalm 23. Don't worry about it. What you need in life, the great shepherd will see that you get it. He knows that you need those things. Case in point, here you are today. None of you look like you slept in a cardboard box last night. Don't take this personal, but none of you look like you missed any meals. We are taken care of. We are provided for. It seems that God does come through on His promise, doesn't He? That our shepherd provides us with the things that we need. And when you look at the idea of shepherding, you know, shepherding has not changed over the centuries. With as advanced as we are in the technology and everything else, shepherding continues the same way as it did back then, where you have one man taking care of a flock of sheep. And there's lots of sheep in a flock. There's not a specific number, but in Switzerland, a medium-sized flock is about 100 sheep. In Australia, a medium-sized flock is over 1,000 sheep. What's a large flock? So many sheep. How does a shepherd provide for so many? Well, the shepherd's got to know where the right places are. Where is there a stream that we can get a drink? Where is there decent soil where the grass is green? The shepherd knows how to feed and how to nourish his flock. That's what he does. Remember that David's writing this in Palestine. You know, it's not always easy to find a water source in Palestine. It's not always easy to find green grass, but a good shepherd knows what his sheep need and when they need it, and the shepherd provides for them. Let's not get so worried on if we're going to be taken care of. Our great shepherd sees to that. He leads me by quiet waters. That word literally means waters of rest. Doesn't that remind you what Jesus said? Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, and I will give you rest. Our shepherd provides for our needs. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. We went to Tennessee a couple years ago, and one of the things I thoroughly enjoyed were the hiking trails. But I'll tell you right now, they're not for everybody. And in all seriousness, there are plenty of people that should not go on those trails. And the trail that the three of us went on was considered an easy trail, at least until you got near the end, where there was a sign, Ashley took a picture of it, that literally said, "Beware, many have fallen to their death here." Quite encouraging, I thought. But the path, in a couple of places, was no more than 3 feet wide. And then sometimes it was rocky and slippery. And yes, on the one side, it went straight down. It was about a 30-foot drop, and then you would just roll very quickly down the rest of the hill. But what kind of a path does our shepherd take us down? A path of righteousness. The Hebrew word means rightness. He takes us down the right path. Does that mean He takes us down an easy path? No. But it's the right path. And even more than that, we can go down that path because He is leading us. He goes before us. He is our shepherd. He is our guide. Just like in Tennessee, we would never let Maverick go on that trail by himself. But I was there, and Ashley made sure you hold on to his hand. She was more adamant at me than Maverick holding on, but you hold his hand. And that's our shepherd. He holds our hand as we walk down the right path. Even though it might be rocky, He leads us. And even though that path might drop off on the left side, and it's a drop that'll kill you, but we don't dare ask, "Are you sure this is the right way?" Because we trust our shepherd, and we stay on the path, we stay on the narrow road. The path of righteousness for His name's sake, for His reputation. As one translation words it, and I think it's the best translation of all, "He guides me in the right paths as He has promised." He guides me in the right paths as He has promised. You know, at the end of the day, remember that you're just a sheep. And a sheep in the middle of the wilderness all by itself doesn't stand a chance. A sheep will either starve, become dehydrated, get stuck. Apparently, sheep get stuck all the time because they're curious. They stick their heads in holes they can't get out of. They get their legs stuck. Or that sheep will get eaten. A sheep on their own, even as the most independent sheep there was, they don't stand a chance by themselves. We are just a sheep. And we desperately need our shepherd. We need him to lead us. And we will follow him because we trust him. In verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. This is the verse that we associate with funerals. Do you know the reason? Because it has the word death in it. It's not even talking about death. It's not like in Finding Nemo, Marlin and Dory are swimming along and they come to a huge trench and Marlin says, let's go over it. That trench has death written all over it. Let's avoid that. Well, the message here is that in all situations, even in the bad times, our shepherd protects us. Shepherds give everything they got to the flock. They lay down their life if need be for the flock. Do you remember what David said just moments before he went out and fought the giant? He tells King Saul, hey, I'm a shepherd and I've had to kill a lion. I've had to kill a bear just to protect one sheep. The Lord is my shepherd. He protects us. The valley of the shadow of death. That has a nice poetic ring to it, but it's simply talking about, and literally it means the valley of the shadow of deep darkness. Like other psalms talk about Sheol, the grave, the unseen realm. It's scary, it's uneasy, it's unknown. Well, this valley of the shadow of death is talking about those times in life that seem so difficult, those times that seem so dark. But here's the charge for us as his sheep. I fear no evil. Literally, that means I fear no harm. As God's children, as sheep of his, I'm not afraid. Why not? For thou art with me. It's just like those three men that Nebuchadnezzar cast into the fire. They wouldn't bend, they wouldn't bow, and so God made sure they didn't burn. And it's their words, though, to the king that should resonate with us the most when we go through these periods of journeys through dark valleys. Remember they said to the king, God will deliver us from the fire, but even if he doesn't, we will only bow to God. That is complete trust. I fear no harm, and even if harm does come upon me, I still trust him. I fear no harm. Why not? Because my God is bigger than any harm I may face. Now consider the author here, David. When you picture the battlefield and a young boy just walking out on the valley to meet the giant, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Our shepherd protects us. His rod and his staff are there to ward off anything that might harm us. Do you trust your shepherd? Then there's no reason to be fearful, for thou art with me. Verse number 5. Thou dost prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou hast anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Now when you read Psalm 23, it's only 6 little verses. And certainly, verses 5 and 6 are different. They're different from the previous 4. They're not really a shepherd reference. But preparing a table in the presence of my enemies, that's something that's very common in the Psalms literature, asking God to deliver them from one's enemies. And consider David, he had lots of enemies. But it's the deliverance here. Preparing a table before me could be a reference to a victory banquet. In fact, give me the banquet right now in front of my enemies as though I have already defeated them. My head's anointed with oil. My cup overflows. God makes sure that I have more than enough, an overabundance. Verses 5 and 6, here's the key to Psalm 23. Verses 5 and 6 are actually about the shepherd leading you safely home. That because you trusted the shepherd, the sheep have been brought safely to the destination, the Lord's house. In verse 6, surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, the house of the Lord, that would not have been the temple, because the temple wasn't built yet. At the very least, maybe it's talking about the tabernacle, maybe. But then you have the word forever, and so we just interpret that as heaven. But always remember, this is still a psalm. It's a song that is using poetic language. The message here is that if you follow the shepherd, if you follow your Lord, he'll bring you through to the end. That the journey it has described, it's not some seasonal journey of the sheep, but a lifetime. That as a sheep, my whole life is about following the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And when my life is over, here I am at the end. I'm at my destination. I've got my table prepared. My head is anointed. My cup is overflowing with wine. And then that word, surely, when that is used other times in the Old Testament, it means only. Only. Because I have followed my shepherd, only goodness and loving kindness or mercy follows me. This is where he has led me to. And that's what comes to the person whose trust is in the Lord, whose shepherd is the Lord. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The idea means to remain. It's a permanent thing. It's exactly like when Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions or dwelling places. It means a place of permanence. There you may dwell forever. David never forgot about his shepherding days. But he saw the big picture. As a boy, he looked back to those Bethlehem fields where the idea of Psalm 23 comes from. Psalm 23 comes from the fields of Bethlehem. But in those same fields, a greater message was coming. And in Luke chapter 2, in verse 10, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. These are the same fields that David watched over his sheep centuries earlier. And what a message the angel brought. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then this message, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Jesus called himself the Good Shepherd in John 10. Can you confidently say, the Lord is my shepherd? Do you put complete trust in him? I fear no harm. Why not? For thou art with me. Well, short text, short sermon. So if you will turn, someone says, don't ever preach on Psalm 119, please. But if you would turn in your hymn book to the hymn of encouragement. Where the soul never dies. Where we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And we always extend the invitation for you to follow the great shepherd. He's looking for more sheep. And if you will follow this shepherd, he will lead you safely home. And if you would like to become a Christian and make a change in your life and start living for the Lord, and if you would like to have your sins washed away by being baptized into the blood of Jesus Christ, we invite you to do that. Or if you're just struggling and you need help, whatever it may be, let's remain seated as we sing this song.